Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehrer's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, July 15th. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, host of WNYC's Consider This and a host in the WNYC newsroom, filling in for Brian Lehrer, who has been on vacation this week. Have you checked your bank account today? If you have children under 18, then perhaps you found a few hundred extra dollars in it. That's because starting today, millions of American families will receive as much as $300 a month per child through the expanded version of the Child Tax Credit Program. Those payments will come for the next 6 months. Experts estimate that the approximately $100 billion paid out to families will cut child poverty in half. But as promising as that notion may be, the expanded Child Tax Credit Program expires in just 1 year. And the rollout and how smoothly or bumpy it goes in the coming weeks could help or hinder Democrats' hope to extend it. So, first up today, we wanted to address what those bumps could look like and answer your questions about eligibility and how to access your money if you and your child are entitled to it. With us now is Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist for The Washington Post and author of the new book, What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. Okay, so big picture, what are these payments exactly, the payments that should be hitting people's bank accounts starting today?
So they're child tax credits. And so typically people would file for these credits when they file their return. Because of the pandemic and families still struggling, the Biden administration said, let's send these payments to folks in advance of next year. And so that's what people are going to be receiving. And the credit was developed or created to just help struggling families make ends meet. And so from July till December, families will get either up to $300 for kids, infants to five, and then from 6 to 17, $250 a month for the next 6 months.
Got it. So July through December. And do most people need to take action to receive this credit or this money?
Yeah, most people don't have to do anything. If you filed a 2019 or 2020 tax return, you'll get the payments automatically. If you gave the IRS banking information, they'll deposit it right in your account. In fact, many families started to see the pending money in their account on Wednesday night. So today, Thursday, the 15th, the money should be posted. If you didn't file a tax return because maybe you didn't make enough, you need to use what's called a non-filer's tool at IRS.gov. That's basically a scaled-down tax return that allows the IRS to know who has children in that age range who are eligible for this money.
Got it. So then what's the maximum amount of money a family can receive from this tax credit? And then at what income level do payments start to phase out?
So the payments start phasing out after $75,000 for single taxpayers. It's $112,500 per head of household and $150,000 for couples filing jointly. After you get over those limits, it starts to phase out $50 for every $1,000 over that threshold. So really, though, most American families are going to qualify for the child tax credit.
As a personal finance expert and someone who writes about families at all income levels, what do you think when you hear that statistic that these payments could cut child poverty in half?
Well, I think they're right on point. I think because there's so many have and have nots and have nots in this country. There are many people who can't fathom that $300 a month or even $250 a month is going to make that big a difference. But it does. It allows families to put food on their table, buy diapers, or, you know, catch up on rent payments. There's so many families who even before the pandemic were living not on the edge, but over the edge. They weren't living paycheck to paycheck because they they didn't even make it to that point. And so this is really key. And what's so brilliant about this is that they're getting these payments in advance. Oftentimes when it comes to the tax system, many people are so scared of owing the IRS that they over withhold and they wait for those yearly refunds, that lump sum payments. But they need the money on a monthly basis. So, for example, if they've got credit card debt, they can, you know, reduce that debt or pay bills as they go along instead of waiting for that lump sum. And there's sort of a mentality with a lump sum payment. You think of it as sort of a windfall. And sometimes people may not necessarily use it the best way because they think it's like extra money when it really could be used to catch up on stuff.
So this program passed as part of a stimulus package with unified Republican opposition, basically. And political commentators have, you know, posited that opponents to these payments will be looking for issues or payment glitches in the coming months as reasons not to extend the program. So do you worry that we'll see some bumps this week and next? Or you know, what challenges do you foresee with this rollout?
Well, you know, I've been reporting on the rollouts from the stimulus payment when they first began last year, and there were a lot of glitches. Now, having said that, the IRS did deliver tens of millions of dollars to families with no issues, but there were many families who haven't gotten the payment and still haven't gotten the payment. And then the portals, the tools that they created, for example, the non-filers too, had a lot of issues. And so I suspect that this rollout won't be without glitches. The IRS is under siege. They're underfunded. Now, they've been underfunded for years by the Republicans because of all the political fighting going on. So their technology is not up to date. You know, now think about it. The IRS is collecting most of the money that runs the government. Then they three rounds of stimulus payments and now monthly payments. This is the first time they've ever done this. Monthly payments to millions of people. They've got to reach people who are unbanked or who don't file taxes, which is the families that need this money the most. So you can imagine putting all that into the pot is creating a lot of issues over at the IRS. You can't get them on the phone if they're glitches. I mean, it's a little nuts over there. Some of it management, but a lot of it funding.
So, you know, as you said, you know, the stimulus payments that people received in the last year kind of acted as a practice run for these payments. You talked about the technical and logistical bumps. You know, any other major takeaways from the rollout of those stimulus checks in the past year?
Well, you know, we have seen that the stimulus payments lifted families up, that it gave them a breathing room, and it really illustrated how tenuous families are financially, even before the pandemic. And so I think it's showing that we need to do more for families. Now, I get that a lot of people are like, well, you know, it's just more welfare and the government should be giving people money. And this is going to create a system where people won't want to work. And these are people who are saying that who've never actually worked with families or worked with people who are unemployed. I would say most Americans don't want to sit back and just collect money from the government. They want to be productive. They want to show that productivity to their children. But if you can't feed your kids, why are we saying, well, just tough luck, let them pull themselves up out of bootstrap? They can't eat that boot. You know, come on. And you know, we need to help families.
Let's go to some calls, shall we? We have Asia in Queens. Asia, thank you so much for calling to WNYC. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just asking, I just would like to know, if someone has a child but they do not claim them on their taxes, are they still eligible to get that tax credit or child credit that they're offering?
Yeah. So let me ask you, Asia, when you say they have a child, so what do you mean they have a child? What does that mean?
So basically, I have a child, but we're going through a custody battle. So my son's father temporarily has custody of my son. So no order is finalized as far as who's going to be the custodial parent, but he is a temporary custodial parent.
Okay. So if he claims your son or claimed your son on his 2020 tax return, then he will get the tax credit. So is that the case that he claimed him for 2020?
Yes.
then he will get your ex or your partner, your child's father will get that. How old is the child?
My son is 13.
13. So he'll get the $250. If he falls in the income range that I mentioned earlier in the show, then yes, he will get it. Now, the good news for you is that if you end up getting custody or shared custody, and maybe you guys are like going to split the dependencies, like you take them 1 year, the child's father takes them the next. If you claim the child for 2021, you can get those payments when you file your 2021 tax return next year. So as you're negotiating, you could do that. And I would suggest that you do that. Say, okay, you took them for 2020. If you are providing care for the child throughout the year, then you can then claim them, claim him for 2021. Now, if that happens, your ex will have to pay back that money. That's the downside. So I don't know what kind of relationship you have. You're in a battle, probably not great, but that's something that you need to work out so that you determine who gets to claim the child. But whoever claims the child, that's the person that will get the tax credit money.
You know, I just really wish that in situations such as my own, that maybe a bank account can be opened for the child in the child's name, mm-hmm. and the yeah. income tax credit, not just the income tax credit, but what they're getting starting today, if they mm-hmm. can just put that money into the bank account for the child so that can go towards college funding or further schooling after high school or however the child chooses to use it when they
yeah,
have
I think,
of age.
Yeah, I see the reasoning behind that, but think about this, Asia. When you're raising a child, you have monthly expenses, and so those expenses need to be taken care of. And while, yes, I agree that we ought to have a system that helps kids go to college, you and your ex or parents out there need that money on a monthly basis. And the money is for the child's care, but not the child particularly. So the money is supposed to help with rent or food or clothing or camp, all those kinds of things, those costs that happen throughout the year. And so I get this a lot, especially with parents who have to have child support, and they sort of figure out, well, it's the child's money. It really isn't. It's the child's money. It's the parents' money to take care of the child.
Asia, thank you so much for calling into the Brian Lehrer Show, and I wish you the best of luck. Michelle, you bring up a great point about how to use this money and whose money this is. So about 1 million filers have already opted out of these monthly prepayments, according to administration officials. So when is it a good time or idea to opt out of monthly payments and just receive the money in full next year? Is it ever?
What? Yeah, well, I mean, this call from Asia is a perfect example. When you have families that are not intact, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, mm-hmm. that, you know, if you have custody and you like alternating when you claim the child, and this in 2021 is not the tax year, but you're going to get the payments based on your 2020 return, you may have to pay that money back. So you really need to think about your tax situation. So, or perhaps a child was with a parent, the parent had some issues, and now a child is going to be living with a grandparent or another guardian who then would be able to claim them on their 2020 tax return, you need to opt out. I think what people don't realize is that this is an advanced credit. So while the IRS is using your 2019 or 2020 tax return, it really is based on your 2021 income situation. Mm-hmm. And so they're giving it to you in advance. And so if your situation changes, for example, let's say 2020 was awful, you lost your job, things were horrible, and you would qualify. But now you're back to work, you're making even more money, and you wouldn't qualify for it, or you qualify for a lesser amount. You want to opt out. You don't want to owe the IRS next year. You want to really kind of come out even. So the whole idea is that you don't really owe much, but you don't get much back. That's sort of the ideal situation.
Michelle, before I let you go, I want to go to one more caller. We have Lindsay in Jackson Heights, who's actually going to share a bit of a personal thing she's going to do with the money. Lindsay, thank you so much for calling WNYC.
Hi, thanks. This is a great segment. I just wanted to share my own personal story. I've got two kids, 11 and 8, and when they were little, we racked up, untold, I should know the figure, but tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt just because the expenses get so high and you're out of the workforce for a bit. So we just actually last month paid that off, and the debt we had, and in part thanks to some of the stimulus money we got last year. So I was thinking how much this payment, this would have smoothed things over at that time. And we're doing okay now, and we plan to, like you were saying, share some of this money with friends and neighbors and others just save for college. So I was wondering if you see any signs that credit card companies are nervous about this, thinking how this might cut into the need for borrowing.
I wouldn't say they're nervous, but they have definitely noticed. In fact, the Federal Reserve looked at what people were doing with their money and found out that people were doing exactly what you did, Lindsay, which was a good thing, paying down debt. Now, some people think, well, why are we doing that? Well, that means that you now have freed up money to make sure your household is stabilized, right? So now don't rack those up again. Go, you know, only charge what you can pay off the next month. And then now build financial stability for your kids. And then, you know, absolutely start saving for college so you don't have to borrow, or they don't have to borrow. So you live in New York, you have some great colleges in the New York area. And if you don't have enough to send them to a four-year university, send them to the community college for 2 years, and then they can transfer to the community college and let them stay home instead of staying on campus to cut those costs. So you're now on the path to financial stability. I want you to stay on that path. I want you to not get back in debt. And now you're doing exactly right, thinking forward, so that because the more stable you are, the less you have to rely on the government, the less taxes we all have to pay. And that's a good thing for everybody. So kudos for you for taking charge and getting rid of that debt.
And we're talking about, you know, college, but our producer Mary says that daycare costs are just so high for little ones here. So that's a big expense too.
Oh, it's so crazy. Yeah, I've got three kids in their 20s, and I'm so glad they're not living anymore. So much money on daycare. Now, if I could just get them out of my house and off my payroll. But they're on their way, and I'm actually happy. My oldest is living with us, and I think that's such a great thing. And we actually encouraged her to move back home, and we actually want her to stay for several years to save money so that when she does move, she could probably buy her house outright. I wanted her to stay like 7 to 10 years. She's like, you are nuts.
Take your mom's advice, though. Take Michelle's advice and save up.
Exactly, right? And I'm only a little bit crazy, so you only have to deal with it for just a little bit. But her dad is great, so that's good.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there with Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist for The Washington Post and author of the new book, What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. Thank you so much for coming on today, Michelle.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.